You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There are few burdens in life that are heavier than the burden of loneliness. That sinking feeling that nobody really cares about me.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to our Lord in prayer, let us remember how much He loves those around us. Lord Jesus Christ, Your loving heart, Your perfect life, Your suffering and death, Your glorious resurrection are so precious to me. Help me to see, Lord, that You did all this to free me from the prison of self, so that I might relate to others in ways that are pleasing to You. Cause each of us to feel Your love flowing through us to each other. Establish relationships in our lives which carry out the direction You have given in the words, "Love one another as I have loved you." In Your name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we began this series of sermons on man and right relationships by discussing the fact that since we were created in the image of God, and are restored to that position through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, we are once again the children of our loving Heavenly Father. This is the right relationship to God for all of us. God meant it to be that way. But of all the things that God made, only of man, while he was still alone, did God say, "It is not good." So, responding to that need, God made a helper fit for him, namely, woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." To this pair, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing." So here we are today in a world that many say is already overpopulated. Surely it is a world in which there are enough people around so that not one single person need ever feel alone again. But in our world, people are lonely in the crowd. That aloneness, however, is not there because there is a lack of people, but because sin has so twisted our being that the ability to relate to other people in more than just superficial ways has all but been lost. Allow me to read what happened immediately after sin entered the life and the history of man. "And they," Adam and Eve, "heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle and above all wild animals. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This account makes it clear that the shattering effects of sin spoiled not only the relationship to God, but also to the others God places around us. Man, hiding from his perfect friend, God himself. They were afraid of the one who made them, of the one who talked with them lovingly each day, of the one who gave them life itself. They immediately began to blame someone else for the dilemma brought on by their sin. Adam pointed to his wife. Eve pointed to the serpent, and not far down the road of human history, we see broken human relationships in their rawest form. The murder of Abel by his brother Cain. God never intended for it to be this way. In that final verse I read, Christians hear God's promise of the Savior who would come to heal the broken relationships among men and to reconcile man to man. He came to restore the relationship of love, which is related and described in so many places in the New Testament. When our Lord said, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He was prescribing and describing what our relationship to others was to be. The right relationship among ourselves has to begin with a loving heart. Why would God be walking in the garden in the cool of the day in search of his children? Why did he call out to Adam? Had he lost his children in the very garden which he had created, among the trees which he had placed there? Hardly. The loving heart of God could not endure the broken relationship with the children he loved. He initiated the reconciling action, reaching out to them in love, asking them a question for which he already knew the answer, but which they needed to give. They needed to be confronted by the one against whom they had sinned. They needed to hear his voice first, so that they might detect from the very first sound a note of compassion and love, rather than the fury and the wrath of an angry God. I think often about how the Lord Jesus reached out to people with God's love. Sometimes it was to many at once, but just as many times it was one to one. My mind focuses on that time in Samaria. There is Jesus seated at Jacob's well. A woman comes to draw water. She had had a series of husbands and was living in sin with the one who was not her husband. It was in the heat of the day, and the need for Jesus for a drink of water was much less urgent than the need of this woman to look squarely into the eyes of the Son of God and to hear from him the words filled with compassion, Give me a drink. His seeking love came shining through to this woman who was so totally out of relationship with those around her that she had to come at this strange time to draw water so as not to meet any of them. How does the Lord God walk through the garden of the earth these days? Through whom does he reach out to all those who, like the Samaritan woman, are hiding in their sin? Through whom is his voice heard, that voice of compassion and longing which says, Friend, where are you? To find them and to have them hear his voice is the task God has given to each of us. Of course, when we do this, we may have to go to some strange places and do some strange things. But that shouldn't surprise us. Walking among the trees of the Garden of Eden was not a very likely place for the Lord of heaven and earth to be searching for his children. And how very strange of God, not only to act like a man, but to become man, even to die the death of the worst man. Now when that loving voice of God is heard, the first thing that must take place is honest confession. We must face squarely the fact of our separation from God and from each other before we can even begin to build a relationship of love and understanding between each other. But honest confession to others is often very difficult. Others will not take this step with us very easily either. All of us fear the other's anger and retribution. Those who are close to us are afraid of losing our love and our acceptance of them. Those who are outside the Christian family find it extremely difficult to honestly confess sin and wrong, because in the world, this usually only brings ridicule and punishment. In the task of building right relationships with others, however, the Christian is uniquely equipped. As he moves among people, his compassionate, loving heart shows through everything he says and does. In relating to others, he develops a track record of the ability to forgive and to forget. This soon becomes evident to those around him who need to share their guilt and find peace. You see, as I honestly confess my concern and my sins to you, I am paying you a compliment. For in so doing, I am, in effect, saying to you, I trust you. I believe that you won't love me less or reject me because I allow you to see me as I am. I believe that you will not lash out at me in anger or hatred. I believe that you will forgive me. I believe you will say it and that you will mean it. I believe that you will not betray my confidence or abuse it by telling others of my failures. I also believe that you will listen to me with a loving, sympathetic ear, and that you recognize that it will help me very much to do this. Believing all this about you makes me able to be honest with you and builds a right relationship between us, a relationship built on the forgiving love of God in Christ for each of us. How many such relationships do you have with others in your life? God wants you to have them because that's why His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered and died for sin. Being reconciled to God through Him also places us in a reconciled relationship with others. But when God places us in these situations, what usually happens? Typically, we are very bad listeners. Our time is too precious. We have so many important things to say. We often listen only with an ear that is tuned for a stance of response that is designed to win an argument rather than to speak words of compassion, love, and forgiveness. Too often we want to beat the other person down rather than lift them up. We seem to be much more adept at winning arguments than in winning people for the Lord. I believe that there are few burdens common to man that are heavier than the burden of loneliness. That sinking feeling that nobody cares about me. That emptiness that eats at my insides to the point of nausea. That dejection that haunts my every waking moment. And it's no comfort at all to have someone say, "Cheer up, it could be worse." My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Not when our Lord Jesus died to make it different. Not when He structured the Christian church to be the communion of saints, the fellowship of the redeemed, those restored to right relationship with each other and with all the other sinners in the world. Practice in building this relationship with others is built right into our worship services. In these services, when the pastor invites you to draw near with a true heart, we meet together at His great throne of grace, to confess our sin to him and to each other. And upon hearing those words of forgiveness, we rise to newness of life with a loving heart and forgotten offenses to build new ways of working together for the Lord our God. When we sing, pray, study God's word, or commune at his altar, when we fellowship together, God is working at us to build and to rebuild right relationships between us. During these days, as I view the whole Christian church, the congregations and those miniature churches, our homes, I am stirred to indescribable restlessness by the words of our Lord Jesus, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Think of how our lives would be enriched if we let that healing love of Christ flow through us to those around us. Think of how much better each relationship would be if the love of Christ were the basis for it. Think of the lost and the lonely who would be reached and saved for eternal life. Think of how it would be if once again the world around us would look at us and say, "See how they love one another." That's what Christ has called us to be. That's what he died for, to make this possible among all men. I also need to tell you that this is one of the heaviest burdens which I feel for the Christian church. I need to say further that I still have plenty of trouble with this as a sinful human being. I too fight the temptation to tell somebody off. I often feel lonely and discouraged. I am tempted to be severe in judgment of those who I feel ought to know better. I have trouble acting out of love as a restored man, even in my home, in my office, to say nothing of how it is with those who hurt me or insult me or those who are against me. But as I have trouble with this, I stand before God, remembering how he loves me in Christ. I remember that the only solution to my broken relationships is to have Jesus take away those hurts and sins, and replace them with himself. I marvel at that miracle of love. Just as I am, he takes me, forgives me, assures me, strengthens me. And my friend, this is there for each of you too. Take it and put it to use in every relationship you have with others in your life. Practice it at every opportunity, and you will see that he is true to his promise. Amen.